and welcome, folks, to episode 77 of the Ministry of Dice podcast. We're a UK-based podcast talking about all things Dice Masters in the United Kingdom. I'm Chris, otherwise known online as True Mr. Six, and with me today I have Andy.
A.K.A. Karen.
Karen. I thought you were going to say Debbie Karen. McGee.
I'm like Debbie McGee here.
You are like Debbie McGee.
I'm a Debbie McGee.
My lovely assistant.
Paul. Oh, no, mind blank. Paul. Daniels.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Not a lot.
Well, I know why you've chosen to AKA yourself as Karen. Would you care to enlighten the listeners in a completely non-Dice Masters related tangent?
Well, Karen? I can't remember. I don't know. Why? I just picked it. I was watching videos about people being Karens.
Okay. I thought it was in relation to that restaurant.
Oh, people don't want to listen about that.
All right, fair enough. Well, here we are then, episode 77. 3 years and 2 weeks old now.
I know, right? I'm still recovering from the hangover.
I'll bet you are, yeah. I'll bet you are. So we were chatting just before we started recording. If anyone's listening, not aware, we live broadcast the recording of the last episode over our YouTube stream. And because it was a birthday celebration, there were libations to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And Andy had quite a few libations to enjoy.
I got bladdered live on the internet. It's great.
And you just said to me, you listened back to it before we put the episode out, and you could tell your tipping point.
Yeah. If you want to hear where I just eke over the edge, it's the end of the quiz and the beginning of the Ask Me Anywhere segment. You could always hear the switch get turned off. I really enjoyed the bit where I went for the toilet break and Ryan commented that I was wearing shorts.
Well, yeah, that's because you said earlier on. It's because you said earlier on that when you podcast, you don't wear anything from the waist down.
I don't, but it was a live stream, wasn't it?
Well, that's why Ryan pointed out the shorts.
Oh, okay. It was very random at the time.
No, there was rhyme and reason to that one.
If you've not listened to it yet, do check out episode 76 of the Ministry of Dice podcast. It's a long one, and some of it isn't worth it, but it's funny. You'll like it, I'm sure.
It's a laugh. It was a laugh.
It was fun.
The video is still marked private right now. Do I let that go public yet?
Let's leave it another week or so and we can unleash that bad boy.
All right, fair enough.
Build the tension, build the excitement.
Absolutely, yeah. Although, by that point, we'll have had the live audience and the people who listen to the audio, there'll probably be no one interested in seeing it. Or maybe they will be now you've just pointed out that you were bladdered.
And you can see me in my shorts.
Yes, absolutely, which is a treat in itself. So, yeah, 3 years and 2 weeks old. And as usual, I'll ask you, my good man, what have you been up to since that event?
Since that event, I haven't done a lot of gaming, if I'm honest, because I've been away on a holiday. Went on holiday for a week up in the Lake District, which was nice. Bit of a break, but with the families, didn't do a lot of gaming there. Internet was a bit shoddy, didn't do a lot. Watched a few movies, if you're interested, movie watch. I watched Red Heat with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I've not actually seen before. It's one of the few 80s
You've
movies.
You've not seen Red Heat?
No, it's good. Enjoyed that. It's not one of the better Arnie movies, but it's definitely watchable. Watch Men in Black reboot, whatever it's called, with Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
That was all right. It wasn't that great.
I'm not seeing that.
Not as good as the first one.
Right.
Watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That's
amazing. I'm behind the curve with a lot of things, including that film. But that was banging. That was well worth watching. If you haven't already, go and see that.
Very good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. In fact, so much so I bought it on Blu-ray.
Oh, did you? Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, some good movies, gaming-wise. Other than that, Yahtzee. Played a few games of Yahtzee with the family. That's about as exciting as
it gets. That's strategic challenge, that is.
It's just rolling dice. It's luck, isn't it?
It's highs and lows, twists and turns, epic starts, epic finishes.
But our kids enjoyed it. And on exciting news, my prizes from EXO have arrived this week.
Woo! So
thank you very much to Arj and all the other people that are involved in that, too many to mention. And thank you very much for my raffle win prizes.
Oh, actually, just while you mentioned Arj,
Oh yeah.
I'll just get, well, you've reminded me because I'll forget by the time you hand over to me. The ceiling's been fixed.
Oh, amazing.
The guy finally, you know, because lockdown's been eased and all that, the guy came round and we've had our ceiling done.
So he will be sleeping soundly in his bed tonight now, he knows that.
Yeah, so yeah, I hope that does put your mind at ease, Arge, now. I know you've been very concerned about my toilet leak and then the subsequent damage to the ceiling, but everything is done, dusted. Well, I say everything's done, dusted. Got to give it a lick of paint.
Oh, okay. Are you getting that or is he going to do that?
No, we're doing that. Well, I'll get the hashtag competitive one.
Yeah, so like the wee, is that the royal wee way? That's actually your missus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't go near paint. I actually have legitimate medical reasons.
Legitimate redhead. I can't even say that.
True story, man. Yeah, true story. Liam. Yeah, I'm allergic to the paint.
How are you?
Yeah. I have a condition. Here you go. Little known fact for you and the listeners. I have a condition called the salicylate intolerance, which is an allergy to a preservative, and it's found in loads of stuff. It's a pain in the backside, but one of the things that it's used in to make it last longer on the shelf is paint.
Dear. I honestly don't know where to go with that.
Yeah, true story. But I just thought I'd set Arge's mind at ease. Bow, now, now, now,
now, now. I get hay fever. Does that count?
Yeah, it's in the same... It's the same ballpark, same kind of family of problems.
I've got Osgood Schlatter's disease in my knees.
Right, okay. That sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other ailments we should air?
Oh, I've got too many to mention.
Yeah. Haircutitis, that's what you got.
Yeah, yeah, it's a rip. I'm like Samson, man. If you cut my hair off, I lose all my magic powers.
Samson, where's the damage, mate?
I prefer to compare myself to biblical godlike characters.
Like, what's the Highlander, not the film, the series.
Oh yeah,
ponytail. That's for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring it back into like a proper slick back 90s ponytail.
No, I'm gonna go more sort of Woodstock and just keep going down.
What, the bird from Snoopy?
No, Woodstock, the, you know, the 60s hippie festival.
Oh, movie watch, one I forgot about, Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good film. We watched that yesterday. But not much Dice Masters going on or gaming. How about you, Chris? What have you been up to?
Right, yeah, okay. Over to me then. So, yeah, we've got a new game. I'll start non-Dice Masters. We've got a new game in the Mr. Six household. It's Disney's Villainous.
Oh, that sounds cool. What's that?
Yeah, it is pretty good. So you like you take, we've just got the core set or the starter set, whatever it's called, and there's Prince John from Robin Hood. I'm just trying to remember now which ones are in it. Queen of Hearts, I think. The reason I remember Prince John is because that's the character I had. I've forgotten all the others that everyone else had. But we'll obviously rotate them around. And you get these like little tasks to complete and you're sort of racing the other villains to complete them first. So that was pretty good and certainly popular with the kids. Very, very family friendly.
Is it hard?
As you'd imagine, like, from a Disney game.
Complicated board game or like an easy board game?
No, it was all right, actually. I threw on the Watch It Played vid. And just sat there with the kids, and that's maybe 12, 13 minutes long to explain it. And we just followed along with him and then started playing for ourselves.
Oh, cool. I might have to grab that.
Yeah, we've only had one game for the moment, but I think they definitely want to give it another go, so that's cool. And we've had the Dobble out, the Harry Potter Dobble. I think that's actually called something differently in North America, you know.
I've never played Dobble.
Have you not?
No.
It's kind of our... so we went out for a picnic the other day, and it's like our sort of picnic entertainment game. So if anyone's not familiar, Dobble is super straightforward, actually. It's just a deck of circular cards with a load of images printed on it. In this instance, we were using the Harry Potter Dobble. We just got a load of like little Harry Potter, like little chibi characters and wands and flying broomsticks and, you know,
yeah,
Harry Potter stuff. And there's several different ways you can play it. The way we play it is we deal two off the top, and it's the first person to call out which image is replicated on both cards. And the way they've constructed it very cleverly is that any two cards you draw off the top, they'll always have one matching picture. So we do it like that. But there's lots of different ways you can play. So it's our little picnic game because it's nice and small and compact. And then we just sat on the blanket outside after we'd had our butties. played a quick game of Dobble.
Very nice.
So that's our non-Dice Masters. On the Dice Masters gaming front, last week, so the Dice Fight XL was on Saturday. I couldn't play because it was my son's birthday. In fact, that's the picnic I was at.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like a little kind sort of, because obviously we couldn't have a proper party for him, you know. So I couldn't play. However, a couple of the UK guys were looking for some play practice, so I've been out and about online playing with a few of them. Big shout out to Rob Pettifor, particularly. We got together. I cheated on you, mate. He took your Wednesday night mandate slot with me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
How did he compare?
Insignificant by comparison.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries, my man, no worries. So he was playing around with his Green Lantern list, and I just put up a few. I took a couple of teams for him to test against. Who else have I played? I've played Stu, played Ollie, Kev, Mike, you know. So hello to all those guys that I've been playing with over the last 2 weeks. All sorts of different stuff, really. Different teams, a bit of golden, a bit of modern, mixing it up. Too much to really dive deep into, yeah. So quite a bit of Dice Masters, and of course I've been doing a lot of stuff on the old ModTube.
Indeed, YouTubing it up.
Yeah, so keeping myself busy and occupied over there as well.
How many subscribers are we on, Chris?
Oh yeah, so nicely done. I'd be lost without you. So if anyone is not aware, we are doing our 200 subscriber giveaway at the moment. And we, at the time of starting the giveaway, I think we were 170, or certainly in the early 170s. And now, since kicking off the subscriber giveaway, we are now at 193 as of date of recording. So it clearly works. People love themselves a good raffle.
They do indeed. Seven to go. Go on, you got
yes.
Seven people out there that want some. What are they? The alt art animated series X-Men prize cards.
Yeah, that's right. Four of them. It's Jean Grey, Blackbird, and the Two Storms. Yeah, if you want to go take a look at the pics and get some of the finer detail there, head on over to BritRoller6.com. On the front page, you'll find the post about the subscriber giveaway. But we're creeping up. So, and we know from the back end stats that there is a proportion somewhere in the region of a third of our viewers are non-subscribers. They watch the content, but they don't subscribe. So they're out there. So if you are watching and you're not subscribed, get yourself subscribed. You may be the lucky winner of those hard-to-find prestigious promos.
Yeah, and you'll know then when the next video's up, because your phone will tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been banging it out lately. At least two videos a week. And it's good stuff too, if I do say so myself.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Well, of course I would, yeah.
Two videos a week and they're both sh**. Oh, no.
Oh, my word.
I meant to say crap as well. My head said crap and my mouth said the other word.
Well, okay.
Get the beeps out.
Get the bleeps out, yeah. And while we're on the reminder train, actually, we've got the UK Games Expo Virtually Expo coming up, with the MOD PDM Dice Masters event taking place as part of that big weekend online digital conventioning thing.
August the 22nd, if I'm right.
That's the one. Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah. So come and join us.
Yeah, August the 22nd. We presently have 10 players registered. So I think that's a pretty good showing this far in advance. But it is creeping up as of the point at which you guys will be listening to this. It will be, less than 20 days away. Yeah. So please do get yourself over to the Challenge and get yourself registered.
It's free.
No charge at all, but we do have prizing available. Ooh, yes, we do, yeah. If that's a little bit of something to develop a bit further interest.
Can we say anything about it now, or are we just leaving it as like a...
Yeah, so... So some of it we can say about, some of it we can't. But I'll explain that. We're relying very heavily on international postage for some of the stuff. And I don't want to say, we'll have this. I'm waiting until it's here in my hands.
No, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Yeah. However, WizKids are supporting us. They're going to provide some of the... we have a promise in principle. to support it, but they're certainly there behind the scenes. And then we're fronting up some stuff ourselves from the Ministry of Dice. The one thing I can let you know about is that the number one spot, the champion, will have an exclusive limited edition, one of a kind UK Games Expo 2020 virtually expo champion mat. That's been specially designed and printed for this event. And the minute that arrives from the printers, I'll get a picture up on our Facebook page for you all to have a quick look at. But it's very on theme, very on brand for the UK Games Expo.
And you know that if Chris has organised it, it's going to look good.
Yeah. Well, I may have, it may be a customisation of a design that I've had done for myself. But obviously the one I've had done for myself doesn't have the UK Games Expo champ and stuff on it.
It's not the Pornhub one then.
No, that one's, we'll get to that one. It's in the queue, mate. It's in the queue. We'll get it sorted for you.
Cool.
Yeah. But some other bits and bobs, you know, we're putting up a wooden spoon, a coveted Ministry of Dice wooden spoon for the last place. And then we'll do a little bit of raffle action through the day. So I'll figure that out. I'll get the details out as to what that's going to look and feel like. But the usual MOD bling will be available for winning also.
How exciting. That's good, isn't it? I didn't know we were doing prizes.
You knew about the mat. I sent you the picture, didn't I?
But I didn't know that we were going to get more stuff, so that's good.
Well, I'm just going into the, you know, the True Mr. Six Mystery Prize Box, really.
So that light-up Batman thing.
Well, no, Jesus. Christ the light. Yeah, that's just going... Yeah, one lucky winner will get that Batman as well. That Batman light keyring thing. I'll just chuck it in one of the envelopes to get rid of it. and I think that was everything. There was one other thing you wanted to remind our Wednesday night live stream fans about, wasn't there?
Yes, because we are doing the versus set versus series. I can't remember what we called it now, but we put sets against each other. We did AVX versus Infinity Gauntlet, where Infinity Gauntlet rose to the top. And for our next one, we are looking for suggestions from you guys on the cards to use. So I have, we did the poll whilst we were doing the games on YouTube. So if you want to be involved in the next decision, then, you know, make sure you don't miss out our live gameplays on a Wednesday night. And it was what was chosen for me was War of Light. And what was chosen for Chris was Justice Campaign Box and Associated Team Packs.
Yes.
So we need your help to put together not only a team, so suggest some cards, suggest some combos, got to be within the set, but also some content so that we can talk about it on the episode that will accompany the gameplay.
Yes.
So how do they get in touch with us, Chris?
Well, you could find us on facebook.com/theMinistryofDice. You can go to BritRoller6.com and hit any one of the many contact us buttons that are distributed across all the pages at the top, at the bottom, on the left, on the right. Or you can tweet us, you can Instagram us, you know, track us down anywhere really. But those are I would probably say those are the two main ways. Or on Discord, find True Mr. Six or Andy on Discord.
Yeah, try not to do Discord for me. I just found some messages from like 3 months ago that someone sent me.
Oh, nice.
I didn't realise you had to press the thing that goes over to the people. And then I wondered why it had like a little red thing next to it. So maybe stick to Facebook or an old-fashioned email. Or write me a letter, it'll be fine. let's be pen pals.
Let's do that, yeah.
Do you remember pen pals?
I do, yeah. I used to have a French pen pal that was given to me by school, yeah.
Yeah, French one. They're always boring as you like, aren't they?
No, my. So, wow, here we go. Whoa. This is a long intro, but the French pen pal, dude called Philippe, he came over obviously for the school exchange, but we carried on corresponding. And then I went to visit him a couple of times in France, and he came to visit me here in the UK a couple of times. And Philippe was he used to play Magic the Gathering and a game called Spellfire. And that was probably the first ever collectible card game experience I ever had.
So we've touched on a historical moment in time when your introduction to gaming and geekery.
Yep, playing with Philippe. Magic the Gathering second and third edition cards in French.
Ooh, that sounds wrong on so many levels. Not only have you got Magic the Gathering in the mix, you've also got the French.
Anyway, right, should we tell the listeners what we've got coming up in this episode?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so we have the first segment is the long-awaited, it's going to be such an anticlimax now, the long-awaited discussion around the best of three format, or the best of one format for organized play. We mentioned it episodes ago because I had my the order of things all upside down and back to front. With UK Games Expo coming up, I suppose it's particularly prudent because we've chosen to do best of three at the UK Games Expo. So a bit of a pros and cons kind of chat, if you will. And then we've got our next competitor taking a run at the Ministry of Dice's The Bar.
How exciting.
It is. Very exciting guest. He's been a long, long-standing friend of the podcast and of the Ministry of Dice and BritRoller6.com Towers. And he's dipped his toe in the content creating waters himself and is here to tell us all about it. But more importantly, have a crack at that leaderboard.
I should get that leaderboard sorted.
Yeah, absolutely, you should. That'll be good. And I think that'll really take us to the end. This has been a long intro with lots of updates to fire out there, hasn't it? So,
yeah.
So that'll probably take us to the end of the episode. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Let's get on with the show.
Should we do it then? Yeah. Yes, welcome back then, listeners. So, as promised, this segment now is going to be talking about the Dice Masters organized play format. Well, I say format, I don't know if I'm using the right language, but we want to talk about the idea of whether you play best of three rounds or whether you play best of one rounds. I'll just kind of put it in a bit of context. So, following the EarthX Origins event, I was listening to A Double Double in Dice. Hello to Kim and Jocelyn.
That's a good podcast. If you haven't listened to that already, you need to try that. After us.
They are smashing it out of the park at the minute, actually. Their last two episodes have been really good. Really good. Like, proper podcaster envy on my part for the quality of podcasts that they put out there. I think everyone should listen to certainly the first of the two-parter.
I've not listened yet, but if it's that good, then let's not give them any help.
Right, okay, yeah, fair enough. But hello, in their episode following EarthX Origins, more importantly, they had a bit of a chat about the best of three, the choice to have EarthX Origins as best of three. And I followed it up with, I was talking to Jordo and Jocelyn, and just sort of followed up some of the thoughts and comments they had on the best of three. They weren't so keen, really, and they had their reasons why. Yeah, sure, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, they have their reasons. But we over here, certainly specifically in the UK, very rarely do anything but best of three and much prefer it. And there's, you know, we have our reasons for that too. And I just thought, you know what, this would be quite a nice discussion to have, especially because we've chosen to do best of three rounds at the upcoming MOD PDM at the UK Games Expo.
That's right. I noticed that EarthX Origins was MOD PDM format. No one said that. Everyone played games all day. There's no top cuts. Best of three rounds, no top cut, is what is known in the biz as an MOD PDM format.
Well,
stressed enough at the time.
There you go. Well, everyone can consider the record straightened.
Thank you very much.
By yourself there, Andy.
We started that. You could say that we are in many ways shaping the tournament meta. Format stuff.
So eloquently put. Well, anyway, best of three and best of one then. So I think you're of the same frame of mind as me, that you prefer best of three.
I do prefer best of three. I think there is a place for best of one, which is to do with people and timing. When I went to Worlds, if you didn't know, I did go to Worlds 3 years ago now, which is scary.
You have to tell us about it sometime.
I'll have to get round to it.
Yeah,
that was the Swiss up to top 32, which it was four games of best of one. The two things I remember from that was that I wasn't used to it and thinking, oh my god, I've just spent thousands of pounds to fly to America to maybe lose four games and get booted out, which was quite scary.
Yeah,
but I suppose timing wise with the amount of people that there were, it kind of had to be.
Sure.
So I guess timing would be the only reason why I think that it was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, that tends to be, and certainly one of the arguments that the guys on Double Double and Dice made in their reflections on the best of three at the EarthX Origins was that, you know, they kept finding an incomplete second game as part of the event, and then by the time you had your five rounds at time, you know, it just dragged on and it meant things ran over, and it, I can absolutely see that point of view.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether, to my mind, I don't know whether that advantage in terms of times, in terms of timing, you know, whether it balances up against the other benefits I think best of three does bring to the game.
Yeah, one and done is quite scary, and it doesn't give a true reflection. You get best of three, there's that bit of to and fro. If something doesn't quite work your first time, if your rolls are rubbish, you've got another crack at it. If something just doesn't go your way, you can get back onto it. Like you've said many a time, it takes you the first game to work out what's going on, and then the next two you usually win.
true story.
One thing that I found with the best of three that you mentioned because of timings and top five is one thing that I didn't do for Nationals 2018. We didn't really prep or practice anything to do with timescales, which I think is important if you are prepping for a tournament and if you are starting to get ready for the UK Games Expo, is to practice with a timer and what your decisions would be and how they would change for the second game if you've only got 10 minutes, and what you would do if it goes down to those five turns or six turns at the end, whatever bump is decided and how that works. What are you going to do and how are you going to do it? Because it makes a difference. If you've got a slow burner, you need to change your tack if you've got 10 minutes left. And you need to know what you're doing. If you're going to do well, you want to at least have a think about what you're going to do there.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. And I think that's one of the things that's in my conversation with Jordo, we kind of hit upon that point too. And I said, well, it's all about the change in strategy. And it's about when you build your team, if you know in advance that you're playing a best of three tournament, you know, in the rounds of best of three, then you should team build accordingly. And as you've just described, strategize accordingly. And, you know, when you throw other things in the mix, like, is there turns? Am I playing for a tie or a win? Are there ties? If there's not ties, then, you know, what's the script there? You know, if you go one game apiece and stuff. So you should make sure you got your information up front and you understand the implications of that to the team you're building. And then, as you've just said, the way you're going to play it on the day. And it doesn't have to be about having a complete second game necessarily, or it's about having a faster pivot or a speedier way of playing it. So I think, yeah, that's a great point, Andy. Absolutely. And I entirely agree with that. But just to go back to what you were saying before about, it's less about luck then, isn't it? It is more about the challenge of playing your team well and doing well in best of three. Whereas best of one, there's just too much risk of, you know, not, if you don't get the right energy at the right time, that's it. And it doesn't matter what you do from that point on necessarily. It's best of one. When you're done, you're done.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because we're used to playing best of three and we used to have that buffer zone and the thought that, well, you know, if I lose the first one, I've got an idea of what they're trying to do and I can re-strategize and try again and then maybe get the second and third one done. That's taken away. So I think if you are doing best of one, you need to know your team inside out and you should do anyway if you're prepping to be serious, but know what's on the other side of the table.
Yeah,
know what it's going to do, so it's not a, oh, okay, that does that, I'm dead, let's go again, I won't let that happen again, because you're not going to get the chances. You need to know what the cards are over the other side. So you have to do some homework and some research and know what's likely to be out and on the other side of the table to you.
Yeah, although I think that's, in terms of the best of three and the reason why my first game doesn't necessarily go as well and I win the second two, it's not so much about the lack of knowledge about the cards. I can look across the table and see what someone's playing and kind of add it up in my head. I think there's just something about getting the measure of the player and how they play it and what their approach is going to be, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, a lot of times that I'll admit that when I've played in, I've looked across the board, I've not really had a clue what it does. But you just pretend you do anyway and hope that they're not like properly stitching you up and going, yeah, that does me three damage. Whatever, you just kind of roll with it. And whatever you've put together is better than what they've put together. But yeah, one and done. It's harder. You need to properly know what the ins and outs of a duck's behind.
Yes. Yeah. I know that it's been commented on in the past as well that sometimes there's talking about style, I suppose, and player approach to the game, that there is a more, I don't know what the word is, I'm trying to think, Ben, when he was on with us, and we were talking about the US Nats compared to the UK Nats, because he played in both. I think he kind of said that UK and European players are much more kind of slower, more studious, more control focused. Comparably, the North American players were much more aggro, looking for a quicker, faster win. And so best of one perhaps is less, I don't know, less stressful for them, or they can accept it more because there's something about player styles and I don't know if I'm expressing myself very well. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do both, though, don't they? Is it, if you step up into the top cuts, then you're doing best of three. So yeah, it's just that, those initial kind of whittling it down to the top players, I suppose.
Yeah, blast your way through Swiss.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's another element to it, really. Certainly taking the MOD PDM point of view is that, as you mentioned before, we want everyone to play all day.
Yeah, I mean, that's top cuts. You know, I see the point of it. We did it at the MOD PDM down here in Southampton for the unofficial UK National Championship. But there's a hanging around element. There's a, you know, oh, should we do a draft, or let's do this or do that? It's better just to play your games all day. You've got your team ready. You've got it there. You've practiced with it. The more we progress on, the more I think that it's so much better to have a tournament where people have paid money, invested time, invested effort, travel, etc. I don't want someone coming to an event that I run who's going to play 2-3 games and at lunchtime get told that he's not wanted anymore, especially if there's like a bye. Oh, you got the bye. Yeah. Oh, and because you got the bye, you're actually out. So, you know, it's 11:30 now. You can get a train at 12. It's a bit naff.
Oh, what, you brought lunch? Wow, you're optimistic.
Yeah. So just having the Swiss, and I think it's worked so far. Obviously, it's been picked up by a number of other tournaments that have adopted the MOD PDM style, and it seems to work well. I haven't seen any people moaning about it.
No, and that's, you know, that ties into the best of three thing, because, you know, your one and done Swiss just does then feel like, you know, your top 16, your top 8, your top 4 players are just there to carve the way through, smash the way through the Swiss to get to the real gameplay.
Yeah.
When they hit the top tables. And I don't know, I think there's something about having best of three through the Swiss rounds for all players, because then it means that it's a more communal event and everyone's still getting a good chunk of gameplay out of their day, kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you think, and it's not something I've ever done, or have you ever done, have you built a team taking into account how the tournament's going to be run?
In what respect? I've definitely made teams around things like no turns at times, so it's highest life. Oh. So I've built teams with the intention of, you know, chipping away as much life as possible if I can't do the big play. Is that what you mean?
A bit. It's like, if you play one and done, so in the US kind of format where it's one and done round Swiss, and then when you get to the top cut, you go best of three.
Mm.
I'll admit that I've just built a team. But you could potentially go that step further and think, well, in my one and done games, I need to go quick. I also need to be quite careful that I don't lose quick. So maybe potentially play a bit more cagey. And then when you get to your, there's something in my brain that's trying to come out. Whereas when you get to the top three, you could be a little bit more risky because you've got the three different games.
I'm not sure what you mean. So play, are you saying people would be inclined in the one and done to play more tentatively?
Yes,
and more, more cautiously?
So yeah, so for one and done, you'd definitely think about protection. You don't want to get, you know, two god catches, boom, done. So you'd want to think about that and how you're going to avoid it. Again, you're thinking about that anyway, but the best of three, again, I don't know.
Well, no, actually, I think, by all means, get in touch with us, folks, and let us know your thinking on that. But my suspicion is that it's the other way around, mate, because I think people go, it's one and done. And so one and done is more encouraging of, right, I'm just going for my turn 3, turn 4 kill, get it over and done with, get my win in the bag, box it off so I can get to the top cut. I think actually it's the exact polar opposite of what you're describing. I think in one and done, people take more risks. They'll play with more kind of glass cannon strategies. They'll go for the turn. Yeah, that's the space where you turn three, turn four, mega kills come alive, because it's driven by that competitive intent of, I just need to get my opponent done, dusted, destroyed, and out my way as I work my way up the leaderboard. You know, I actually think it's the other end.
Interesting.
Mm.
I wouldn't think like that, though. But maybe it's because we're used to having the three. If you're used to just having the one game, you'd be like, right, let's just go for it. I'd be thinking, right, let me get my blob out there nice and quick, and other defensive measures so that I know I'm not going to get knocked away and then chip away at them for the win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. That's just a suspicion on my part. So I would ask the listeners and say, yeah, those that do and have played more frequently in one-and-done style tournaments, let us know. I mean, all I know really is the one-and-dones that I have participated in, my wins and my success in them have been so often down to luck. I sometimes feel like a fraud when I do well in them. Do you know what I mean? There was, I can remember one and done event we played at Fanboy 3, and whoever it was, and they just had the worst, like literally the worst looking rolls. Like if they needed a mask, they would roll a shield. If they needed a bolt, they would roll the mask that they wanted last turn. Do you know what I mean? It'd be literally just not going anywhere. Couldn't buy dice, just all over the place, just floundering. And I didn't even have to do any work for it. I just fielded dice and attacked into an empty field. And I'm just like, well, that's not, you know.
Yeah.
And then I end up going into the top four or whatever. And I'm like, well, have I actually earned this spot in the top four? Do you know what I mean? I feel like such a fraud doing it. But people let us know, by all means. I'd be interested to know. Andy thinks maybe one and done is more cautious. I think one and done might be more aggro in style.
Interesting.
Mm.
So your preference is like me, three.
Yeah, have I not actually said?
I think you did at the beginning. I was trying to kind of go into a conclusion.
Yeah, so yeah, absolutely. I think best of three is the better format. I can see why some may be frustrated with that. Oh, how do you deal with this second game when time is more limited and stuff? But I just think it's a mindset thing. It's a way of thinking about approaching team building and gameplay, as you've described a bit earlier on, to say, well, what is my strategy in that eventuality, or what element of my team can deliver damage quicker, or, you know, or like you say, what can I do with my slow burner to make it thrive better in that type of environment? But I think the pros of everybody gets lots of play, it's more inclusive and involving for everybody who's turned up, and there's less down to luck and dodgy matchups, makes it the better setup in my mind.
Let us know if you agree or disagree.
Yeah, absolutely. You know where to find us, so get in touch. And let's maybe follow up with a bit of listener correspondence and see what you think about best of three versus best of one. But UK Games Expo, definitely going to be best of three.
Yeah, so get your strategies ready.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, there you go. I feel like you brought that one to a conclusion, so I feel like we're done with that one. Let's check out this bar guest, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gents. And once again, have we got a treat for you here at the Ministry of Dice. I'd like you all to welcome TJ from Friday Night Clicks. Welcome, TJ!
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Quite welcome. It's a bit, I must admit, it's a bit sort of weird for me having you on in this context, because, you know, we've conversed many times in the past where you've had like real life Chris and not true Mr. Six radio voice Chris.
There's only one Chris.
There's only one the true Chris. Just like there's only one true Mr. Six.
Yeah, it's the same person.
No way.
Yeah,
it's both have in fact never been seen in the same room at the same time.
It's like me and
so Dave. How are you, my man? What's it like? Oh, sorry, Andy, say that again.
It's just like me and Dave Walsh.
Like you and Dave Walsh, like Bezzy mates.
No, you've never seen us in the same room at the same time.
Never in the same room. No one can confirm or deny.
Exactly.
So how are you, Mr. Bazilla, on this fine, fine day? Are you well?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Yeah, I'm all dandy.
You've had a busy day.
Yes, well, this morning I managed to banish a young lady to a cult.
You know, just all in a day's work.
Average weekday.
As it goes. You know, just log on, solve a case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Along with your able assistance, of course.
Yes, I had some very good bit of assistance from some people just sending messages like, kill him. You know, really.
You know, we better put this in a bit of context for the listeners, haven't we? So
maybe.
TJ, yeah, or should we just leave
just
it there
leave
like
it
that?
There. Dice Masters.
So Dice Masters, yeah. So we've known each other for a number of years now, Tej. You've been very active on the UK scene. We often refer to you as the figurehead of Scottish Dice Masters up there, the man keeping the dream alive north of the wall.
Yep.
But the scene's is going through a bit of a dry spell right now, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty much the summer of 77 drought. There's no waters. There's a hose pipe ban and everything else is going on. There seems to be me and one other person who I've not met yet, but is one postcode away.
Yeah, which is it's a shame. It's a shame, but you're still managing to get your Dice Masters fix in because, in the absence of face to face gaming, you've jumped 2 feet first into the online scene.
Online, yes, yeah. I've been doing that ever since Troy first started doing it, but then I took a bit of a break from it when our local scene kind of went away, when the booster packs kind of went away, and the campaign boxes didn't really engender themselves to the local venue to kind of keep things going on a weekly basis, and the players kind of drifted away as well. So yeah.
So you got your webcam back out and rejoined us in the virtual arenas.
Oh, I upgraded my webcam to one of them Logitech ones that you get off Amazon Prime.
Oh, nice.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Did you get it on a fire sale deal?
Oh, yes. Special.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Special.
Don't be paying no full price for that Logitech.
Oh no, never.
they're rarer than toilet roll now.
Especially pre-lockdown prices.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get them for love nor money, like hen's teeth, as Andy would say.
Yeah,
that's it's because of all these corp. Say again, mate.
You listen.
Sometimes I take it in. Sometimes I just pretend I'm not taking it in to, you know, stack it away for a rainy day.
We've not actually provided any context as to why this girl was banished to a cult yet. Just saying.
No, we're not going
yeah,
to.
So,
we're just going to leave that in.
but talking about online Dice Masters, one of the things that you're doing right now, Tej, is on your Twitch channel, the Friday Night Clicks Twitch channel, and content that you regularly put out across the Twitch channel is your Dice Masters games.
Yes. Yeah, so Friday Night Clicks kind of started off because after Dice Masters kind of went away, we kind of were playing Dice Masters on a Wednesday and Clicks on a Saturday, which mutated into Clicks on a Friday. And then it was just kind of keeping that going when lockdown happened, you know, just playing online games. And so I decided to put it on Twitch just because I was in the house, bored in the house. And it started doing that probably end of April, beginning of May, sometime like that. Kind of live streamed my matches for one of the CR Game Room's monthly tournaments. And then just kind of got into doing it. Because I was always a bit put off by all this talk of OBS and all the rest of it. And then I looked into it and found out it's pretty easy, really.
Yeah, it is. It's dead straight. If I can do it, mate, anybody could do it. Honest to goodness.
Yeah.
A couple of YouTube tutorials and Jordo and Ryan's masterclass on DM North, and that's it. You're done. You're away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now you're streaming loads. You've got your main sessions where you're banishing people to cults. You've then got your Tuesday team brewing.
Yep.
Which is.
Got its own little
every time I
chain.
Yeah. Every time I tune in, you're talking about Heraclix, but you've done some Dice Masters team brews on your Tuesday brew as well, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. When the Heraclix stuff hasn't really been firing, or when there's like a tournament coming up, then I've been doing some Dice Masters team brews on there as well. And then the morning ones is kind of a thing which I call Detective TJ, because basically, you know, part of the reason way back when in the 80s I moved up to Glasgow was because I liked Taggart. So I've always wanted to be in Taggart. So
is that really the reason why?
Yeah, I even told my advisor at uni. He said, "Why did you move to Glasgow?" And I was like Taggart. And they went,
of all the cities.
And they went, I think we might meet again. And I went, probably.
You're really from London, of like a South London accent, but you just slowly got a Scottish one.
Well, yeah, and by way of East Anglia and all the rest of it. But it depends who I'm talking to as well, and the words I'm using. Do you know what I mean? So
you're going to finish this, and then you stop recording, and you're like, oh.
Lovely bit of recording there.
Apple and pears, get on the dog and bone. Get some jelly deals in.
I forgot what my next question was going to be.
Detective TJ, because it's
American. Oh yeah,
Detective. So I mean, that is that's like my favourite thing on the internet right now.
Detective TJ. It started with this one called Her Story, where I just kind of logged into it. It was kind of like one of these full motion video things, but it's basically a woman who, you've got to go through this database and play back all her different interview clips, and but you don't know what the questions are, so you just get the answers. And you know, just being as you do, I just put in Glasgow randomly because that's where I live. And it all came up. It was like her big alibi was that she drove to Glasgow to clear her head, and she drove from Portsmouth to Glasgow. And I was just like, "You don't do that. She's a wrong one."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
I am. I want to. I've got some bragging. I want to get a bit of bragging done here, because I missed one of the parts. I think it was over three sessions you did Her Story.
Yeah.
And in the very first one, I posted in the chat column saying, "This is the script. This is what's gonna have gone down."
Yeah.
And I was almost bang on the button.
You almost bang on the button, but spoiler alert: we won't reveal what that was. But
no, absolutely not. But yeah. Just the family relationship I had was slightly off, but
yeah.
And there was a weird twist at the end. But
weird twists all the way through. My favourite bit though is, I found there was a clip where she was on a lie detector test, and you could see on that one, you could see this database where you could see the chunks that you haven't seen, and they were all around the lie detector test. And it was just like, right, what could she be saying in this? What could she be saying in this? And then it turned out that all the answers for the lie detector clips were just yes or no, but said in different ways. And it was brilliant. So it just goes, yes, no. Yes, and it takes up about 12 clips. It's brilliant. I love that. It was just like they were just like totally trolling the player. So we did that, and then you were very helpful in the case of the dystopian present of Orwell as well.
Orwell, yeah, I'm still convinced. I think there's more to that case
that
is yet to be uncovered. Yeah, and the muffins. Absolutely, those muffins are. In my defence, there just seem to be lots of references to muffins in, and prominently placed in pictures. And I was like, why are they placing? You know, it's like what do they call it? Chekhov's gun. Why are they placing these muffins so prevalently? But I think because you messed up with Charlotte and all that,
yeah,
we'll never know. We'll never know the muffin connection.
Charlotte Delacroix, she's a wrong one.
Yeah.
There's a follow-up to that one that we could delve into. But anyway, today was helping a young girl called Erica, who is was basically kind of choose your own adventure ITV drama, really. But
yeah.
It involved asylums and cults and people called Lucien. You know, you always know they're going to be a wrong one if they're called Lucy. And, yep. And so we played it through and decided to send her off into the eternal light of the butterfly cult.
Well, you know, life's full of decisions. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, I suppose.
apparently there's 5 different endings, so...
Oh, right.
Maybe we could get her to hang out with the badgers and the foxes instead.
Sure, yeah. And is it your intention to do some replays to get to the different endings?
Well, at least one, because I think Andy suggested, why don't you just play her as the most stroppy, awful person ever? could you tell us about this? And then you would go, cooperate. And I would just be like, nah. And there's one bit at the beginning where there's this young girl who's sweeping a carpet and she's like, don't go on the carpet. And you can either choose to go across the carpet or around the carpet. And we chose to go around the carpet. This time we're going to march straight across that carpet.
As horrible as possible and see where it ends up.
Yeah. Probably in a dumpster.
Yeah, so much fun to be had. Who knew watching TJ click around a screen?
Yeah.
In addition, so much added, in addition to the Dice Busters stuff, you know, so much extra content.
Yeah. And the Heraclix stuff's been good fun as well, actually. I've been playing folk online with that in America and things. So they had a great tournament organized by a podcast called Critical Clicks, whereby they would start off with all the meta teams, and then every round, whichever team won a match, they banned everything in it. So they're going to end up with like the most rubbish stuff by the end of it. But unfortunately, it was like a double elimination and I lost 2 games. So I'm out of that.
Oh, dear.
But I was
commiserate.
But it was great fun. Great fun.
You're still in the 2-team state now.
Oh, sorry.
No, go on, Andy.
I was going to say, you're often getting little Heraclix packages coming through the post as well.
Oh, yeah, I've got a good package coming tomorrow. Oh. Black Widow movie Gravity Feed's coming tomorrow, which we've been waiting on for a long time. That was released just when lockdown happened, and then in America it went into their equivalent of Woolworths, or what do they call it, Target or something like that?
Walmart, yeah.
No, Target, I think it was, rather than
Target.
And so that was the only place you could get it. So like all the Heraclix players were driving around all these stores trying to get it. And then they finally released it over there about 3-4 weeks ago. So that's finally coming out over here, whereas they're now moved on to the new Fantastic Four set, which has come out there, which have released the same day as the Infinity Gauntlet over there. So who knows when we'll see that here?
Yeah, sure. Who knows? I mean, as we all know, you know, WizKids don't have the best reputation for international shipping at the best of times, throw in a pandemic, and
but ironically,
is as good as anybody's.
But ironically, we got the Justice League Unlimited animated series Heraclix before America, just because they put it on the boat before their distribution system went down. So that was quite good.
A lovely, lovely little highlight in the world of clicks. I saw that set came out, and I so desperately, I love the Justice League animated cartoons.
It's great. It's loved it.
I so desperately want a set of those cartoons in Dice Masters.
Yeah.
So desperately, or some alt art promos like they've done with the X-Men animated or something.
There has been some Batman animated promos.
There has. I'm a big fan of the Justice League Unlimited, you know, the kind of Part B, or the Volume 2, if you like, of the Justice League cartoons. I'm not so into the new ones. I'll ask you then, Tej, if you could, because like me, you're a member of the broad church of nerddom. You love loads of nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
If you could have any one set in Dice Masters, what would it be?
Any one set, what, to come?
Yeah, like a themey.
Oh.
Theme or an IP or a comic book series or something, or a cartoon.
I don't know. Well, my stock answer is usually 2000 AD, but I would say Batman 1966. Get more of
66.
Get more of the Adam West stuff, and maybe include Wonder Woman 77 in it, and get a bit of Linda Carter on there as well.
Oh, Linda Carter. I have a very, very special place in my heart for Linda Carter.
Let's not delve too deep into that.
Yeah, used to love a good Saturday afternoon repeat of Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, brilliant. Wonder Woman. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, yeah, that's a great choice. You know, well, they're doing photo images on cards now, so
yep.
Why not?
Yep. Well, I knew nothing about wrestling until that came out, apart from, like, Giant Haystacks, who's a dirty fighter, according to my cousin, and Big Daddy. But yeah, so now I know all about redheads from Ireland and everything.
Oh, yeah, you are a big fan of the redheaded maiden, aren't you?
Oh, well, I thought it was funny how everyone was getting really antsy about it, and I'd missed the whole hype train of that because I was kind of, like, not really paying attention because I hadn't bought the wrestling or the Dungeons and Dragons set that kind of came out of the two box sets. It weren't really available in any shops up here, unfortunately. So it was only after the lockdown kind of started and thought, oh, I'll get back into it, that I got them. And then that's when, I think it was just before that monthly one shot, that was just going, oh, let's just place some of these WWE cards because I got it through the post that day. And I went, oh, she's good, this four cost, which got the Rip Hunter's Chalkboard Global on it. Oh, that's good. And I was like, oh, this five cost version of her is even better. So I, like, put that on. And I'd heard you talking about Becky Lynch on the podcast, and a clue what it did. And talking about God catches and yawning portals, and that just sounded a bit rude to me. So, yeah, I kind of stumbled into making Becky Lynch team when it was an archetype. So I did that, and it went quite well with that. And then everyone was talking about banning, and I was just like, I've only just got to this party.
I remember you messaged me and Andy, the team, saying, yeah, this will be, yeah, I think this will do all right. Yeah. And we were just like, yeah, mate, it'll do all right.
and then because it was like the EarthX Origins thing, I just kind of went to town with getting all the gifts and then doing them on my overlays on OBS, you know, so when you, like, smash someone, it'd be like her taking a sticker and putting her into the mat and stuff like that. So it's all good. And she's from Ireland, and she's got red hair, and I think that's the best thing.
Ireland with
red hair is the ultimate card in Dice Masters. I think is brilliant, and the fact that another really powerful card is a girl from Norfolk.
Yeah, that's Paige. Yeah,
that's brilliant. That's fantastic. It's beautiful.
So I only know about her because that movie with The Rock.
Yeah, I watched that. It was pretty good.
I'm a Nick Frost fan, so I checked it out, and that's the only reason I know who she is.
Fighting with my family.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah.
What's her name?
Paige. She's from like Great Yarmouth in Norfolk, right? And she somehow got spotted and taken across to be in Raw or whatever it is that they go in before they're in the WWE.
Like the little leagues or whatever. Yeah.
And then she's become one of their big female wrestlers, this girl from Norfolk, which is great. I love it.
So, TJ, I'm about to hand you over to Andy to put you through your paces, but before I do, do you want to give us one final plug or reminder of your Twitch channel information, please?
Yes, it's on twitch.tv/FridayNightClicks, CLIX. Yeah, if I can get more than three people watching at a time, then I might get this affiliate thing, because I've managed to get quite a few followers now, and the affiliate thing will mean that I can make saucy little emojis, which would be good.
Which you're very excited about, yeah.
Well, you know, Ross has got his pickles. Who knows what I can make, you know?
So if you time will already, tell. Go and follow it.
Yeah.
Click yeah, absolutely. It's great Dice Masters stuff. You get to see all of TJ's kind of competitive gameplay. And he won't say it himself, but he's a top-notch A-grade player. So if you're into watching great players play, then you'll get that from TJ. But then all that added value if you're a fan of Clicks, or if you like to knuckle down and be part of a team that solves a case.
And if you like watching the middle of a pack during a tournament, then I'm the place to go.
Absolutely. Right, well, speaking of being in the middle of the pack, you're not feeling very confident about this next bit, are you?
No.
Because you know what time it is now, don't you, TJ?
Is it a time for an approaching menace?
It is time for you to face the Ministry of Dice's The Bar.
Theme tune.
Theme tune, yeah, I'll put it in now.
Hold on, now.
No, that doesn't feel right. It feels like I should have put it in just immediately after the moment I said time to face the Ministry of Dice's The Bar.
Do you know the name of that piece of music, though?
Mastermind theme tune, maybe.
It's actually called...
Maybe not.
It's actually called Approaching Menace.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, which is why you just said the Approaching Menace. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
I just laughed to be polite. There you go. I did not know that was the name of the song.
Yeah.
No, but that's obviously not the one we use, TJ.
No, of course not.
It just sounds like it.
you use Approaching Menace.
Yeah, inspired by.
Yeah.
So we'll drop that in, shall we? We'll do the theme tune now.
You win that one.
Yeah, I do. Right, over to Andy now to take you through your paces, my man.
Good evening. Right, so this is the Ministry of Dice's The Bar. It is 2 minutes of quick-fire questions on your chosen specialist subject, which is flip cards.
Yes.
Yes. Random choice, but...
no, I like it.
It's a narrow pool of cards to choose from, so hopefully it'll be all right. I have to eke out some questions. If you know the answer, give me the answer. If you don't know the answer... If you give me the wrong answer, then I'll give you the right answer. If you do want to play tactical, save a few seconds. If you pass, I'll go on directly to the next question.
Okay.
This will give us the minute, 30 seconds and 10 seconds.
That's right.
And he will take the score. Have you got your pen and paper ready?
I'm going high tech. I'm using my iPad today.
Oh, dangerous.
What's going wrong?
It is sometimes. I've turned off the... If you go way back when, there was a crisis moment where my iPad screen locked at a crucial moment and I ended up losing the score. So I stopped using my iPad. But there's a saying, you can just turn the auto lock off.
Cool. Right.
Yeah. Cool story, bro.
And has it turned off?
Yes, I've turned off. So it's all set, ready to go.
Right. Okay, then, Teach,
yeah,
are you
okay.
Ready? You ready, Teach?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, cool.
All right, and are you ready, Andy?
I'm ready.
Here we go then. 3, 2, 1, go!
What is the first set to feature the flip keyword?
Batman.
Correct. Rare Batman, always prepared, is a flip card. On one side, villains are re-rolled when he is fielded. What is re-rolled on his flip side?
Non-villain character dice.
Correct. All three versions of Batman from the Batman set are flip cards. On one side, the affiliation is Bat Family. What is the affiliation on the other side?
Naughty villain.
Correct. There are two Marvel X-Men promos that have the flip keyword. One is Colossus. What is the other?
Wolverine.
Correct. What discount does the ability on the back of the Wolverine card give to other X-Men characters?
Two.
Less to...
Field.
Correct. There are two actions with the flip keyword in the Batman set. Utility belt is one. What is the other?
Two faces coin.
Correct. Rare Huntress is her only version to have the flip ability, but she has the same game text on both sides. What cannot block her?
She cannot be blocked by sidekicks.
Correct. What color is Huntress's die?
Purple.
There's only one super rare from the Batman set to have the flip keyword. What character is that card?
The Joker.
Correct. What energy type is the Joker?
Shield.
Correct. White Lantern Hal Jordan is not a flip card, but does love a flip. When he is active, what happens when you flip a card on an active character in your team?
30 seconds.
You deal one damage to your opponent.
Correct. The Justice League Lightning team pack also features a number of flip cards. How many different characters from the team pack have at least one flip card?
Oof. Let's say 5.
Oh, it's 6. Atlas from the Justice League team has an awesome prep global.
10 seconds.
What type of energy do you have to pay to prep a die? Correct. What is the subtitle of the Atlas card with the prep global?
4.
Purge to 3 particles.
Correct. What other keywords can cause...
time.
I'll start that again because I've
I've started, so I'll finish. What other keyword will cause Atlas purged of PIM particles to flip?
Is the spin up one, isn't he? What's that called? I hate the spin up. Amplify.
Correct.
Yowza.
Oh, my word.
Oh, I feel like that was a good run. I feel like I was pressing tick more than cross significantly. Let's have a look here. Yeah, now then, you ready?
Yeah.
TJ. Hang on. I have to recount that just to be absolutely certain. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
that's a new record.
I think, yeah, that's the top spot. I think the highest on the leaderboard is 12.
12. All time is 12.
That's mad.
What? The actual shut the front door. I can't.
I thought those were quite hard as well.
Well, I was.
I don't even know where to take it.
The Huntress one was a bit of a gift because she's my favourite superheroine, so that was good.
I see. That's a stunning performance on the bar there, my good man. Stunning performance.
Good work.
I don't know what to say.
Neither do I.
People doing well.
This channel is now at the top of the Christmas tree.
I wasn't expecting to do well, to be honest. I was just like, ooh.
No, well, you did confess to us before going in that flip cards was a good choice because it was kind of an obscure subject to choose. So it was fun, but it also had a more limited card pool. And you did also confess to me that you'd been doing some swatting up.
But I didn't know. That's the problem. So
I
meant to do my swatting up, but like just before you came on, I looked at them for about 10 minutes and that was about it. But Batman set was one of my favourites and we played it to death.
It was a great set.
My favourite flip card wasn't even asked about, which was Kate Kane, Batwoman, which is the one with Common Ground where she attacks with a villain then she's unblockable. I loved that one.
Is that the one where on the other side she does damage when... Didn't you do me in once with one in a single affiliation tournament? Does she do damage when you draw a villain out of your bag or something?
That's a different Batwoman one, yeah. Who does, if your opponent draws more than two dice that aren't action dice, then she deals them two damage if they're not villains or action dice.
If they're not villains?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember being like, well, what? It just camping her in the field and then pinging me for two every bloody turn. Still got PTSD. Well done, my man. Well done. 14, taking the top spot. It's about time we had someone drive up that leaderboard a little bit. The game, you know. I was audibly unable to, didn't know where to go with that. It was like, oh, someone's actually done well on the bar. How do we deal with this bit? What do we do now?
I don't know. It's made me go a bit quiet.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. No, composure. You were composed.
You only got one wrong out of all the questions.
And which one was that? Was it the Joker's energy type?
No, it was how many different characters from the team pack Justice Like Lightning have at least one flip card, which is a bit of a nasty question, to be fair.
Yeah.
You're only one out.
I was just worried you were going to ask me all lots of subtitles, but luckily you didn't.
No, I'll try and keep them.
Kept it nice and...
Yeah.
Nice and on theme.
Yeah. But a lot of people still crumble, don't they? Even if they know the answer. So,
yes. Yeah.
Well done.
Well, to quote...
Yeah, well done.
To quote Tucker Jenkins, flipper neck.
All right, Tej, well, in the interest of time, this is going to be a long segment, so I'm going to wrap us up there now. Just once again for the listeners, the name of your Twitch channel?
Friday Night Clicks.
There we go, Friday Night Clicks. Go check it out. We highly recommend it. It comes Ministry of Dice approved. So much so, it's even got our stamp in the corner.
Quite often.
What, is it not always there?
Well, every time there's a Dice Masters thing, yeah, totally.
All right, yeah, okay. Well, that seems reasonable. I was about to say, we'll talk about it off air. Thanks, Tej. Well done, my man.
Thank you.
Well, there we are then, folks. As all things must, this episode has come to an end. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed recording it. What a treat to have TJ join us for our episode this week. Actually, I'm really pleased to have TJ on because he has been a very, very long-standing friend of the podcast.
And personal friend as well.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a ledge. Absolute legend in his own lifetime. And if you get an opportunity, you absolutely should be checking out his Twitch stream. We are pre-recording this outro, but I'm quite certain that TJ and I will have discussed muffins and murder mysteries. If we haven't, that's the, if we haven't talked about it in the bar interview just now, then this little bit that we pre-recorded will make no sense to anybody but me and TJ.
Random.
Yeah. So there we are. So yeah, another episode in the can. Well done, sir. Well done, Mr. England.
Well done, Chris. Good work.
Sterling work as always. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been a bit sneaky. There's some editing being done this episode.
I have to do some editing every episode. We'll go in and add that bleep. Yeah. Don't forget about the UK Games Expo.
Register, it's free. Let us know how many's going.
Yes, yeah, that'd be helpful just to get a sense of how many people are planning on turning up.
Chris is quite confident, but I'm really worried that we're going to be here till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Dude, we're not going to, like, to get into six rounds, you need over 32 players. We're not going to be having over 32 players.
Okay.
You hear that? Don't you worry about it.
And your little thing. There'll be people be registering left, right, and centre.
Well, maybe, you know, if we do get over 32, maybe we'll have to have a conversation there. But I think we'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
I do worry.
Yeah, well, I can tell you're worrying. I can tell you're worrying. And, you know, if you need to go to bed and get your beauty sleep, I'll just finish it out for us. Don't you worry about it.
Okay. Bye.
I've got stamina.
That's the door closing.
Sleeps for the weak.
Is that from a film?
I think it probably is, although I can't remember which one it is.
It's got Will Smith in it. Did he do a theme tune?
He's singing the theme tune, yeah. Did he write it too? Right then, we'll wrap that up then. I don't think there's much more else to say at the end here.
Don't forget to send us your suggestions for War of Light and Justice and Associated Team Pack cards that we can build teams from, and we can put something together for the stream in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely, yeah. Jump on over to YouTube, check out our content over there, and subscribe if you've not done so already.
Be in with a chance to win a prize.
Absolutely, yeah. And jump over to BritRoller6.com. I tell you what, I'd like more people to get their eyes on the mod files. We've brushed up our monthly updates to have a little bit more about them and just a bit less about the YouTube videos and just more broadly about Ministry of Dice stuff that's going on in any given month. And we've got some great, like, little humour comic strips in them by Stu Art, that I really want people to go and take a look at. So if you do nothing else, just go and have a quick peek at them. They're like four panel little humour things, you know, like in the newspaper. Yeah, and I laughed out loud on each of them so far. There's been two so far. Yeah, so go check those out. But in the meantime, I've been Chris, a.k.a. True Mr. Six.
And I've been Andy, a.k.a. Terry McCann.
Mm. Yes, you have. Take it easy, folks.
Bye.
Boom. There you go. That's like 25 minutes there, though. Although, we didn't. I think I hit start recording.
Oh, yeah, you did a bit earlier.
A bit before we. Yeah. So maybe about 22, 21 minutes, which will be fine by the time I've trimmed a bit of the fluffy dead air out.
Sit down for the segment. So just sit down. Oof.
All right, then. Yeah.
My arms. I was like bent over my desk like a.
Let me just get a glass of water, man. I got a bit of a frog in my throat. I don't know if you could hear me with the older.
No.
No. Well, that's good.
I'll just get some water.
Okay.
First I was afraid, I was petrified. Thinking I would never live without you by my side. But I spent so many nights sorry for myself when I grew strong. And I knew how to get along. And now you're back from outer space.
Well, that was. You're not going to see that through to the end.
Do you know what? I forgot that you now wear your headphones when you walk around.
Wireless, isn't it? I could hear you singing to it.